How many of you heard of Oscar Williams, the expression that looks can be deceiving? How many really know that to be true? By deceiving, I mean misleading, misunderstood, mistaken. Well did a person say when they said, don't judge a book by its cover. Because looks can be deceiving. Y'all, his name was Derek Carter. 11, 12 years old, I instigated a fight with Derek Carter in the front yard of my home. I'm still wondering, why did I instigate, provoke this fight with Derek Carter? I do remember that Derek was a whole lot shorter than I was. I was a run at that age, but he was shorter than I was. And so I decided, for whatever reason, I'm gonna pick a fight with Derek Carter. Derek Carter was shorter than I was. Vertically, I had the advantage. But Derek Carter was several years older than I was. I don't know how old he was at the time. I still remember he had facial hair, so he was older than I was. Nevertheless, I picked the fight. I lay hands on him. I push him, and what did I do that for? Derek was faster than lightning, y'all. He was stronger than ox. Split second, he took me down to the ground, was on top of me. I thought he was going to beat me down, y'all, but he stopped and ended up. He had grace on me. This little fella, not vertically, I had the advantage. Horizontally, I was out, y'all. He had up a hand on me. But he didn't lay a hand on me. He just said, I don't want to fight you. Will you just leave me alone? Y'all know what I did? I left him alone. But I found out something that day that looks can be deceiving. The Bible is filled with people that God used in powerful and profound ways to do his work, his bidding, but they didn't really look the part. I think about a woman by the name of Leah in the Old Testament, that her story, some say, is the ugly duckling story of the Bible, that she was the second string wife, although the first wife, the second string wife to Jacob. Y'all know Jacob, his name was changed to Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. But Jacob's, his eyes, y'all, were set on Rachel. That Rachel was his top pick, while Leah was perhaps his side chick. That he loved him some Rachel. The Bible says, it depicts her this way, that she was filled with beauty and form. That she probably looked like a supermodel, had a Coke bottle shape. And so she was filled with beauty and form, while Leah was, she had weak or tender eyes. And so we don't really know all that meant, but we know one thing, that Rachel must have looked better than her, because Jacob preferred Rachel. But the good news about her story, y'all, is that God chose Leah to give birth to Judah, one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And Bible readers know that Jesus comes through the lineage of the tribe, the lion tribe of Judah. Looks can be deceiving. There is Elisha, the great prophet, y'all, that he was walking about doing his business one day, and there was this group of young men that decided they would tease Elisha. They teased him, y'all, because he had a bald head. And so Elisha cursed them, and two bears came out of the woods, y'all, and mauled some 42 of these teasing young people. That's a lesson there, y'all. Don't tease bald-headed holy men of God. Don't tease them, y'all. You'd be in trouble with God. But looks can be deceiving. The Apostle Paul speaks in 2 Corinthians how he has this thorn in the flesh, and he desires God to take it away. We don't really know what that thorn is, but many believe, and historians say, it was some type of an eye disease, that Paul was not that pleasant to look at times. He had some type of eye disease. Again, he asked God to take it away, but God would not do it. But God told him that in your weakness, my strength is made perfect. That Paul didn't have the look, but Paul was no pushover, that he was a great man of the faith. Looks can be deceiving. I believe that God uses the unlikely to do the unimaginable. The God selection process, y'all, is not man's selection process. That God can take foolish things and powerless things and weak things and things that seem like nothing and bring to nothing the things of this world. I believe that God's choice is not man's voice. That God doesn't need our voice, that God doesn't need our opinion, God doesn't need our thoughts on whom he chooses. That what he decrees that he does with ease. But there's this radical thing I want us to consider this morning, this radical reality that God, the sovereign God, the only true and living God, comes down from glory, the person of his son Jesus Christ. He puts on skin to save people from their sin, only to hear religious leaders say when they saw him, oh, he ain't about nothing. Turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 53 as we read verses 1 through 3. Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 3, as I read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. It says this: who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender grain shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised, and we did not care. Encourage our hearts this morning from the thought, don't let looks fool you. Don't let looks fool you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. And so it is, Isaiah, this mighty prophet of God, he paints the picture of a humble, suffering Savior who would conquer powers and save people from their sins. But Isaiah raises the question, who would have ever imagined it? Who would have thought it? Who would have believed our message? So I need y'all to pick up what I'm putting down this morning, because I want to ask you this question, this pointed question, this personal question. Do you believe who Jesus is? Do you believe in the Jesus that Isaiah prophesied about? Do you really believe in the Jesus of the Bible? Or do you believe in some made-up Jesus? Have you received the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, what it means to accept Jesus as your personal Savior and to be saved? Have you really? Come on now. As I said in my opening prayer, I believe there are people sitting in churches around the world that really don't know Jesus. They go to church. They may read a Bible every once in a while. They do good things. But they really don't know who Jesus is. I want to make sure, the pastor, that we're clear on who Jesus is. Because know this, we can't fully buy into who we are as Christians, as believers, until we fully believe in who Jesus is. And I just believe this, the correct view of Christ, the correct view of Jesus, it has to be a high view. It has to be a lofty view, a high view. Who is Jesus to you? Who is he to me? So Isaiah starts with two basic questions. Who has believed our report? Who has believed the message? He's talking about the message about God sending his son into the world. In spite of prophecy, few people recognized Jesus when he appeared on the scene. It's the gospel writer John that says he came to the world, but they didn't receive him. But not only that, he came to his own people. He came to the Jewish people, and they did not believe. They did not recognize him either. Paul suggests this scripture in Romans chapter 10, 16. Who has believed our message? Who has believed our report? That not everyone, y'all, not everyone who hears the gospel of Jesus Christ will receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. That the gospel is good news, y'all. It's good news all by itself, but not everyone will see it as good news. But do you see it as good news? The second question that he raises, to whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? That powerful arm, it means something. It represents God's saving power. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 9. Wake up, O Lord. Clothe yourself with strength. Flex your mighty right arm. Let me be quick to tell you something. When God flexes y'all, something happens. When God flexes y'all, something happens. There's power in the right arm of God. There's power in Jesus. There's power in the Word of God. So I don't know about you, but I love it when God flexes in my situation to my advantage. But the only way that happens is through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. His arms are still open wide for someone to receive him today. God's arms are open for you and for me. But embodied in Christ, both the message and the muscle of God. It's been said that the best news of the Christian gospel is that the supremely glorious creator of the universe has acted in Jesus Christ's death and resurrection to remove every obstacle between us and himself. I don't know about you, but I don't want anything between me and God. I don't want any roadblocks. I don't want any walls. That's why it's so important for us to confess our faults, because he's faithful and just to forgive us. I don't want anything between me and the Lord. Can I ask you another question? What might there be between you and the Lord? What is he asking you to do? What is he asking you not to do? Could there potentially be this morning, as I'm speaking to you, something between you and the Lord? You and God, y'all know that. The question in the text this morning is, why didn't they believe? Why didn't they believe who Jesus was and who he is? If he was the very reflection in the image of God Almighty and they served God, why did they not believe? Why don't some people believe today? I believe Isaiah can kind of help us with a few things that relates to this issue. Based upon the text, something we find out here, first of all, the cheat is that he was human. It's prophecy. Jeremiah says in verse 2a, my servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. That he would grow up in the presence of the Lord. That Jesus was always in the presence of the Lord. Yeah. Yet at the same time, in a sense that he was still God, but he was separate from God because he came down from heaven. That he grew up like a tender green shoot. He experienced the natural life, the natural growth process. That he cried, he got hungry. He needed Similac, he needed some milk, he needed to be nourished. I don't know what kind of diapers they had back then, but he would need a diaper change. That he experienced the natural human growth process, y'all. He got tired. He grew up like a root in dry ground. His roots could be traced, y'all, that they knew his root. That you could come to know his people and them, his mama and them, his daddy and them. That he was human. And they said, y'all, in John 1:46, could anything, any good thing come out of Nazareth? That he was human. Reverend Mike said this morning, it's good that we know that he was human. Because in his humanity, he identified with you and me.
Yeah, yeah.
That we get anxious, we get hungry, we all of that. That he could identify with you and me, but we cannot make a mistake about this Jesus. He was more than human. He was human, but he was also divine. Yes. That he was man, but he was also God. Yes. So we can't fully buy into who we are until we fully understand and believe who Jesus was and is. He was human, but he was also divine. Which lets us know, too, that we that believe on the name of Jesus Christ, that we are human, but divinity lives on the inside of us. How do you know? Galatians 2:20, for I am crucified with Christ. Yes. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives on the end. Divinity lives on the inside of me.
Yeah.
And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Yeah.
That he was human, but maybe he was too human for some folk. Because some folk look at their situation and they go, if he's really God, then why is my situation jacked up? I've talked to this Jesus, but nothing's changed in my life. But don't let looks fool you. Though your circumstances may not be well right now, he promises in his word he's going to make it all well. He's going to make it all good.
Yeah.
Dion, he was human, but he's also God. And that's the God we lift up. That's the God we magnify. That's the God we believe in. That's the God we trust. And no matter what circumstance we're dealing with. That Jesus was human, but also know this. He was not hyped as the Savior. Look at verse 2b. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance. Nothing to attract us to him. Have you ever noticed that when you look at a whole bunch of movies that depict Jesus, that they depict him as this hunky kind of a guy? He's seen as a Jewish Fabio with a long flowing hair, that he's a male hunk. But Isaiah says something else. He says something quite contrary. There was nothing beautiful about his appearance, that he looked unimpressive. He didn't have Hollywood height, that he didn't look the look. And y'all know how some people, they just look. They look the look. There was nothing majestic about his appearance. Some people, y'all, they just got the look. You know, you look at them and go, yeah, that's the one. That's going to be a star. They're going to be an actor. That's going to be the supermodel. That's going to be the star athlete, because they've got the look. They've got that appearance. They've got the full package, as we call it sometimes. People didn't run around talking about Jesus like that, though. For some of them then and now, perhaps Jesus is not God enough for some people. It's too human. It's not God enough. For some people, he's not human enough, and he's not God enough. But make no mistake about it, it was not about his hype. It was about his holiness. Yes. That this Jesus, I'm talking about, he was hallowed by angels.
Yeah.
There might be some of you here today that listen. There may not be any hype about you. People don't see you as God sees you. But that's all right. Because it's not about a hype. It's not about a fancy suit. It's not about $20 words. It's not about how many books you've written. It's not about whether your name, your face is on Time magazine and the world is touting your name. Listen, I would be nervous. Knowing that God called me to preach the totality of his word, and you want to put my face on the cover of Time magazine? Well, after I get through preaching some message, I think you beg to differ. Listen, I want to say something to y'all this morning. If the world is touting your name, and the world is in love with you, it ought to make you a little bit nervous if you really live for Jesus. Because I'm just talking, I found out that when you really live for Jesus, when you really, really show enough live for Jesus, listen, you won't get the hype. So you're not going to look the part, because people won't like what you've got. They won't like what you've got to say, which is really going to take me to my next point in a minute. So he didn't have the hype. He was human. But this third thing that Isaiah says, which is still true today, in verse 3, he was despised and rejected. A man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. That Jesus was actually hated. He was despised and rejected. I do believe that Jesus was hated and rejected because of who he claimed to be. That he said he was the Messiah.
Yeah.
That he was the Son of God. And he is. And people hated him. They hated him for it. The Pharisees and Sadducees, they didn't like it because he was stealing their thunder.
Yeah.
That when he spoke with authority. People listened.
Yeah.
They didn't like it, and they hated him. They hated him so much that one day they would decide to kill him. I think he was hated because he spoke the truth.
Yeah.
Anybody know some folk in here, that when it comes to the word of God, that you don't take down, you're going to speak the word of God. You're going to speak the truth of the word of God. And sometimes, y'all, when we speak the truth, folk won't like it. Sometimes we look folk in the face. And we tell them, thus saith the Lord. This is what the word of God says. They're not going to like you for. Young people, listen to me. When you live a life for the Lord, when you live a life for Jesus, listen, you have to speak the truth of the Word of God, which means you need to know the Word of God for yourself. But I just found out when you speak the truth, when you have a room full of folk and they say one thing and you say, well, thus saith the Lord, folk won't like you for it, y'all. But he called us to be truth speakers, y'all. In the world in which we live today, we must speak the truth of God's word. That we don't have time to be playing with the word of God, twisting the word of God, perverting the word of God. That we want to be careful that we'll hurt somebody's feelings. But we have to tell them the truth. I believe they hated him because he told the truth. That he was a man of sorrow, acquainted with deepest grief. He understood what it meant, y'all, to be human, to have pain and sorrow. Jesus cried, y'all, in John chapter 11 when he looked at the crowd before raising Lazarus from the dead. In Luke chapter 19, he cried when he approached the city of Jerusalem as he thought about lost people. Jesus was a man of sorrow, not for himself. He took on the sorrows, though, for us, for you and for me. That his tears, the teardrops of God, were for you and for me. That ought to do something on the inside, that he cried for me. His sorrow and his grief was for me because I was lost. He came down to save you and me. The cheetahs cried, but they hated him. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way, and he was despised when we didn't care. Other translations say it this way: we did not esteem him. Esteemed is an accounting word. It means to total up the value. You see the ordinariness of Jesus, they would say. That they saw him as an unfortunate. They appraised him. They did the calculations on Jesus. And the bottom line was he didn't look like much to them. But they were wrong. Don't let looks fool you. If you love the Lord and you find yourself in a place of being disliked or hated, oh, it's all good. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and say all men of evil against you for my name's sake. Be happy, be glad, for they did it to me. They did it to the prophets and the folks before.
Yeah, yeah.
So be okay with that. You're not the first person to go through something. You're not the first person to be talked about.
Yeah.
They hated Jesus. And this world and this world system will also hate you and me. People didn't believe back then, and some people don't believe today, y'all, that Jesus is the Savior. Hear me today. Pick up what I'm putting down, y'all. For some, faith and church and Bible reading and Bible study and paying your tithes and all, listen, that's foolishness to them.
Yeah.
But that's to them. We're talking about people that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know him in the pardon of their sins. But you do. They didn't believe because Jesus was human. They didn't believe because they were worldly. He didn't have worldly hype, that he was hated. But the question this morning, before you this morning, do you believe?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you really believe?
Yes,
Lord. Like the donkey says on Shrek, I believe, 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 and he hops and he hops. There ought to be some hopping folk in here today because you believe. You believe, you believe, you believe. I truly believe this. I'm not perfect by any means, but I believe who Jesus says who he is. I've confessed him with my mouth. I believe this. I've accepted him into my heart. I believe this. And I hold on to it and I cherish it. And when I can believe this and I truly believe this, there ought to be something transformative about what I believe about him. If I say I believe in him, there ought to be something transformative about my life and the way I live and the things I say and the places that I go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I have a high view of Jesus. And not a low view of him. Looks can be deceiving. I'm one of those people, y'all, that eat food by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. I eat first by sight. I'm not very cultured when it comes to eating. I'm pretty basic. I stick with the basics. That if it doesn't look right, y'all, I'm not going to eat it. There's a test. You got to look at it first. If it doesn't look right, second, if it don't smell right, Yeah, people, man, you just still eating greens and potatoes and you eating basic steak and meat. Yeah, I'm good with it. I'm good with that. Then you're sloppy with a whole bunch of sauces. No, I'm good. I'm good with that. Yeah, I read an article some years ago, true article, 8 foods that are ugly but taste good. True article, y'all. 8 foods that taste good. They don't look good, but they taste good. Like meatloaf, liver, oysters, squid, octopus, prunes. Ugly stuff, but they say it tastes good. I don't know who told that. meatloaf, I might eat a little of that, y'all, but I ain't gonna eat too much of that. When we grew up, y'all, we didn't have a lot of money. Mama fixed a whole bunch of meatloaf. If it wasn't meatloaf, it was some kind of chicken. Now, I'm still stuck on chicken. I'm stuck on chicken, y'all, but the meatloaf you could keep. Now, octopus, are you kidding me? They have octopus, y'all, the whole thing in HEB now, sitting there on ice. That is the ugliest creature you ever want. If somebody would actually eat that thing, I'm offending somebody today. I mean, it's got the tentacles on it, y'all, the little suction cups and all of that. I could not put that on my plate. It's not going to happen. If somebody said, listen, you got to eat this octopus or you're going to starve to death, I'm going to meet Jesus. I might be going to meet Jesus. I'll meet Peter at the gate and say, no, Peter, I didn't eat the octopus. I didn't eat it. I'm not eating it. But there was one thing they had in this list of things, these 8 things, y'all. They had the sloppy Joe. That it's messy, y'all. That it gets all outside of the bun. It runs everywhere. When you pick it up and eat it, it's running down you. But y'all, it's good. Now, I love me some sloppy Joe. I ain't had it in a while. I ain't had it. I'm dropping a hint. But I love. You slap some cheese on that rascal, you got something to eat then. I love me some sloppy Joe now. Might not look good, but it tastes good. Looks can be deceiving. Jesus didn't look the part of a savior. And even more, all the circumstance around him seemed messy. People hated him. That he didn't have the hype of the world. That wherever he went, when he spoke the truth, it created confusion and chaos for a lot of people because they hated him. They did not like him. It was a messy situation. That even they hated him because he hung out with sinners. To many, looking at this Jesus, this would have been a messy Jesus, a confusing Jesus, but looks can be deceiving. That the Jesus that I'm talking about, he was and is the Son of the living God. He is the true Savior of the world. And for those that experience his power, that you've tasted of his grace, you've tasted of his goodness, that you can say with the psalmist, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Anybody know his mercy endures unto all generations, that he is good? Yes, he is. Oh, taste and see that I tasted and I know he is good. Hebrew writer, Hebrews 7:25 says this. I'm almost done. He's able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. That's you and me. That this Jesus came to intercede, to stand in the gap for you and for me before God the Father. That we might look at our own situations. We might look at the world around us. And right now, the world we look at, it seems real messy, doesn't it? There's a lot of chaos and confusion going on. Then sometimes we can look at our own lives, y'all, and sometimes our own life, we can look like the sloppy Joe. That we can be messy. That stuff's still running all off the side. We still don't really have it together. But guess what? But whosoever shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. I might look a little messy. I might not always get it right. But the one thing I know, the devil cannot confuse me, that I'm saved. That I confess Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of my life. I'm not perfect. I don't always get it right, but I know who Jesus is. That he is my Lord. He is my Savior. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And I believe that. I believe. Anybody believe that today? You're looking at me straight. Do you really believe it today? Do you believe that Jesus was and who is who he said he was and he is? That man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. When they looked at Jesus, they didn't see much. But he was and is the risen Lord Jesus Christ. To those that dare to believe the report of Isaiah, that will believe his message, not the message about Buddha or Muhammad or Confucius, not messages that come from CNN or Fox or NBC, ABC, CBS, MSNBC, but Isaiah's report, Isaiah's message. This is the good news. That this is the gospel. I like what he goes on to say in Isaiah 53. He says this: yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was without sin, for he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. King James says it even better to me. He was wounded for my transgressions, that he was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and it's by his stripes we are healed. What that means is what he did on Calvary's cross, when he died and he got back up again, it brought me into a relationship with Jesus Christ when I believed. Yes. Don't let looks fool you that he is the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And when I see him high, when I see him holy, when I see him as he is, then I can see myself the way I am. And what his word says about you and for me. What does the word of God say about you? He says we are adopted as children, God's children. That we are born again by incorruptible seed. That we can be courageous because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. That we have been delivered from the power of darkness. That we are empowered. That we are forgiven of our sins. That we are guarded in Christ Jesus. That we are healed. That we are justified. That we are kept. That we are loved. That we are redeemed. That we are transformed. That we have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Have you been washed today? Have you been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? Have you truly been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? Has he made you clean? Has he made you whole today? If you know it, give God praise in the house today. I'm saved and I know it. I'm saved and I know it. Thank God for Jesus. I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for Jesus. The only way to my salvation, the only way to your salvation is through Jesus. Don't let looks fool you. Only he is the way to God the Father. The church said, come on, can we give him praise today? Can you thank God for Jesus? I just thank God for Jesus. I thank God for saving me and keeping me and raising me and redeeming me and forgiving me. Pray with me. Pray with me now. Father, thank you for this word today. In its simplicity, that Isaiah prophesies about the coming of the Messiah, the suffering servant. And in the fullness of time, oh God, he came into the world by way of a virgin birth. That he was despised, he was rejected, even by his own people. He healed the sick, he raised the dead. They still would not believe. He said who he was and he is, but they would not believe. He spoke with power and authority, but they would not believe. Let there not be a person under the sound of my voice, whether in the house or online, that will not accept Jesus as their Lord and say, Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Speak to hearts right now. Save to the utmost all that will come to Jesus in this moment. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Raise your voice. Jesus, he saves. God, we ask that you save right now. We admit that we've all sinned and fallen short of your glory. We believe, Father, that you raised Jesus from the dead. We confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus. Believe in our hearts, God, that you raised him from the dead. And that saves us. That settles it. And we receive your salvation, and we thank you for it. Speak to hearts right now. for the person that has yet to declare who Jesus is, to understand and to know. Speak by the power of your Holy Spirit, Father. Do what only you can do. That the business of the church is to declare the glory of God, and Jesus is the glory of you, Father. The business of the church is to tell people about Jesus. The business of the church is not projects and it's social things and all. That's good. It's okay. But the real business of the church is reaching people for the kingdom. So God, speak. Do what only you can do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Perhaps there's someone here today that you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible makes it clear and so simple how to receive Jesus. Sometimes we can complicate it, y'all. Try to make people jump through hoops and do this and that. It's not about the doing, it's about the believing. If you're here today and I say to you, accept Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior of your life. Again, we all admit that we've sinned. We've fallen short of His glory. We believe in this moment who Jesus is, the Jesus of the Word, the Jesus of the Bible. We confess it. We believe it in our hearts. It saves us. If you're here today and you're believing it for the first time and you want to connect in a relationship with Him, you can do that today. If you're here today and you're already a born-again believer, but you're not connected to a local church where you can fellowship with other believers, pray with other believers, serve with other believers. Living Faith Community Church is a great place to be. It's a church where we're connecting real life to a real faith. Believing for the first time, already a born-again believer, but not connected to a church. Won't you come today? Our ushers are standing in the aisle. Their arms are outstretched. Why don't you follow them in this moment to room number one, room number one. They will gather information from you and we'll welcome you with open arms. Would there be one? Amen. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Hallelujah. Would there be another? Right now, there are those of you that are tuned in online. We extend this gracious invitation to you as well. But you're not in the house. But you can do that today. There is a link that you can click on. You can see that online right now. Click on that link. Fill out the information on the new member form, and I promise you on this coming week, someone will get with you and we'll talk to you and we'll welcome you with open arms. Fill out that form. Click on that link. Would there be someone else in the house? Would there be one? Would there be another?
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.